And here we go! We're back on again. This is the Ignite Rock Podcast. This is your host, Ahmed Khalifa. This is episode 8. And this is where I talk to awesome and creative individuals who have created something awesome and creative on WordPress. Welcome to the show, everyone. I'm so, so happy that you're here today. And I think you're going to enjoy this one. It's a really, really good one. Because today I'm talking to Julie Christie from Tea Break Talk. It's an online course and community-based photography website where Julie helps those who are keen to learn about photography all together as a community. And it's a very, very interesting website. And it's also the fact that she's also a family person, a mother of two. She has made it work through persistence and determination. And you'll hear more about that throughout the interview. First time I've seen Julie on the web is when I've seen her speak on podcasts and also been doing podcast interviews with a few other people, and I really find her very interesting in how she portrays herself online and how she manages her website and how she really works so, so hard to get to where she is today, and it's very, very exciting. So, I hope you're going to enjoy the show. Sit back, relax, enjoy the interview, and I'll catch you at the end of the interview. And here we go, everyone. I'm so excited right now. I have Julie here on the line, who is someone who is very, very interesting and very, very excited about what she does online in terms of the photography industry. And I just had to interview her because I find it really, really interesting. So, Julie, thank you very, very much for coming on. I do appreciate your time, and definitely want to start off with tell me a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you got to where you are today.
Okay, well, hi, thanks for having me on, Ahmed. I'm delighted to be here. So I suppose I would have to start with my photography business, which, you know, I used to have a very traditional photography business, which I started in late 2010. Before that, I was a teacher and became a little bit disgruntled with the whole education system and decided to make a move into being my own boss and having my own photography business. So that was a traditional portrait photography business for a long time. I didn't use WordPress at that time. In my journey to improve my photography business, I came across someone you know as well called Chris Marr, who helped me to understand more and more about content marketing and just the marketing side of business. And I actually ended up becoming really quite passionate about that side of things. And you know what it's like? You just find yourself on a different path all of a sudden, and you don't quite know how you got there. But What ended up happening with me was that at the time I had started to teach photography as well as do photography. And in learning more and more about online marketing, content marketing, I thought, well, why not take my classes and put them online? So that was the beginning of a new journey for me. So that has eventually led me almost completely away from my traditional photography business. And I've now found myself in a place where I'm pretty much solely online. So I'm selling photography courses online, and I've got a photography community that I manage online as well. And I'm now moving into having a membership site as well.
Wow.
I have no idea how it all happened.
That's a journey. Yeah, Chris Marr is someone that I'm very familiar with. For those who don't know, he runs the Content Marketing Academy conference once a year up in Scotland, very, very popular conference, and it focuses on the essence of content marketing. Very, very interesting guy as well. But yes, it's really interesting that you kind of gone on that journey, because people think about, you know, photography classes, courses online. There's a lot out there. It's very, very competitive. So how do you stand out from the rest of courses that are available out there?
Do you know, at the beginning, I really thought about that a lot. I overthink everything anyway, but I thought about that a lot, and it was such a saturated market. And what I did to begin with was I started a podcast, because I thought that would maybe be a little bit different to, you know, your online video courses and things. But actually, now that I think about it, I think I started a podcast because I was a bit too scared to get into video. But I did think, right, how can I stand out? I'll do it all via audio. And then the more that I got into it all online and the more my community grew, the more I thought, well, why not? Who cares if lots of people are doing it? You know, I can still do it and I'll stand out just by being me. So I didn't go about trying to stand out by creating courses that were different. I just thought, I'm just going to do it in my way. So I'm a teacher anyway, and I have a very specific way of teaching. So I thought, why not just teach in my way, and that will make me stand out.
It's a very, very good point that you mentioned that, you know, the market could be competitive, but you are who you are in terms of, like, nobody can copy you, and that is your unique selling point, and people would like you for who you are. And nobody can replicate that. So it's
exactly
a very, very good point that I try to tell people, yes, you may be in an industry that is very competitive, someone doing something quite similar or very similar to you, but you have your own style and you have your own technique, and people will love you for that, your own community. So seems to be working. I'm guessing that that's what your community like, which is great to hear as well.
You know, not everyone likes it. And I used to worry about that as well. I used to think, oh, so-and-so has left the community. I wonder why they left. They didn't like me. They didn't like the way I teach. But actually, the more confidence I get in this arena, the more I realize that when people leave, it's a good thing, because they're not the right fit for the community. They're not the right fit for me, and I can't please everyone. So as long as I just stay authentic to me, then I will attract people who get me, and I will get them, and the community will be stronger as a result.
I like that. I like that a lot. It's really good. It's a good point. If people leave, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It means that you can focus more on those who kind of want to focus on yourself, want your help, really.
And, totally.
And you can really focus your energy on them. It's a very good point.
They're the ones I want to help. You know, they're the ones I want to be there. So I think wasting energy on trying to get the wrong people to stay is folly in the end. But I've gone through a journey in that respect. I didn't always feel that way.
And you say that, you know, you first tried to start out doing some podcasting, and because, you know, you're starting off in terms of doing audio version of content, and you talk about being confident about yourself. So what is it? Did you just bite your tongue and said, you know what, I'm going to do it? Did you have to psych yourself up to do it? What was it that made you so worried about doing it?
I was terrified of doing it. I was so scared. I was scared of so many things. I was scared that I would sound like an idiot. I was scared that my friends and family would think, what on earth is she doing? I was scared that other photographers would question what I was saying and tell me that argue with me or tell me I didn't know what I was talking about. And so all these things were going through my head, and I thought, I can't do this. So I had followed all the guidance on starting a podcast, and I had 3 pre-recorded, all ready to go. And the podcast was all set up in iTunes. Everything was ready to go. And all I had to do was get the word out there, you know, press that button and get the word out there. And I just stalled and stalled and stalled. And then eventually a friend said to me, a fellow business friend said to me, Julie, how would you feel if someone came along tomorrow with a similar podcast to yours and started before you with your idea? And I thought, right, that's it. That's done it. You know, I'm going to go home and get this started. So, yeah, I just had to basically get over myself. Mm-hmm. That's really what I had to do. And it was so scary. But then, weirdly, it took me very little time before I started just feeling completely okay about it.
Wow. That's some word of advice. If someone start before you, how would you feel about it? That's a good point.
Yeah, that if there's anything that's going to get a rocket up you, it's that. You don't want to be sitting on this great idea or this great piece of content and then too scared to release it, and then someone else comes along and gets in before you. I mean, if there's something to be said for just biting the bullet.
Yeah. And now I'm sure you're looking back and think, what was I thinking? It wasn't that bad at all. You just, you know, I'm sure you're enjoying it as well. And I've seen quite a few of your podcast episodes on a video format as well. In my opinion, you seem like a natural at it anyway. So I don't know what the fuss, Julie. Maybe it's just
me, I know. It's just silly. I mean, no one's going to die if you do something like this. But it is. It's putting yourself out there. I think us Brits as well, we're just that little bit more embarrassed by these things, as if, you know, people are going to think, oh, who does she think she is? You know, who does she think she is trying to make videos? But really, no one is caring. No one cares.
Well, it's a classic imposter syndrome, isn't it, really? So
yeah, absolutely. That's exactly it.
But you've done it, and you've gotten yourself out there quite a lot, and reaping dividend in the end, so I'm sure you're really enjoying it. So, and you're building up this brand name, your T-Break Tug, which I quite like that name. I can see where you got it from, but could you explain to the listeners where that name of your brand come from?
Sure. So in the photography world, photographers call themselves TOGs, T-O-G, so just short for photographers. So loads of people ask, you know, if they're not in the photography world, they have no idea what a TOG is, but a TOG is a photographer. And the tea break came from, do you know, really I kind of stole it, because I met a guy called Mark Pendleton who does Coffee Break French and Coffee Break Spanish. He has amazing podcasts teaching languages. And I loved Coffee Break French. I loved that name. And that's where Tea Break Tog came from, because the idea is that I'm helping people with their photography and with their photography business, but I'm making the content short and sweet so that they can consume it within their tea break or their coffee break. So just kind of short, to the point photography tips and tutorials.
I like how you're right about the coffee break titled programs and podcasts and products. There are plenty out there. You chose tea break. For me, I thought, how very British. You know, I think it makes sense, really.
So British is.
I think it's a great name. I think it's really, really clever. You've said it perfectly, that you just learn a bit about photography during your tea break. And basically, a little bit of your time, even 10 minutes a day, you can add up to a lot of knowledge about photography.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, people just don't have a lot of time now, do they? And there's so much content out there. They want to just consume something quickly.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And your business, I can see that, you know, you have your membership site, you have a community behind, and then there's also another side of your business where it's talks in business. And as I understand, you're trying to help others to be where you are in terms of, you know, being your own boss, learning about photography, running the business. And, you know, you've talked about you had to earn less than minimum wage for a long, long time.
Yeah.
You know, you have to graft, you have to learn about photography, and then to not just make money, but also to be happy. So could you talk a little bit about that? I mean, what is the essence behind TOGs in business? And just talk about that bit in terms of, like, you have to graft in the beginning to get to where you are now.
Sure, absolutely. Well, first of all, when I started Tea Break TOG, it was really not to help business owners at all. It was all aimed at beginners or enthusiasts, you know, maybe up to intermediate photographers. But then after a year of Tea Break Tog, I surveyed my audience and discovered that over 80% of them were either thinking about starting a photography business or they already had a photography business. Wow. It just kind of gives you an idea of the landscape now in photography, that there are so many people who have bought a DSLR. They're unhappy in their jobs, or maybe they want a job that they can kind of mold around their family and their personal life, and they decide to make this big leap into professional photography. And what has happened is that because so many people have made this leap into something they thought was quite accessible, they then find themselves in an industry that is actually extremely difficult to make money in, to make a living. And they find themselves thrown in at the deep end with such a sense of overwhelm, all these things they have to learn, all the business side of things, the marketing, the admin, and they realize that it's a lot more work and a lot more difficult than they initially realized. So when I realized that there were so many of my audience in that position, I thought this is something I can really help them with, because I went through the exact same thing. I really struggled. When I first started my photography business, I was actually quite busy, but I priced myself all wrong. So I was just, you know, that saying, I was just a busy fool. I was doing so much work for very little money. And at the end of my first year in business, I looked back and thought, wow, I've nearly killed myself working. And then I did my sums and I realized that I'd earned less than minimum wage. Wow. When I took away all my expenses and thought about the hours I'd put in. So yeah, big changes had to happen at that point.
Wow. That must be a big shock factor for you. You look at that, you're thinking, oh my God.
Oh, it was so depressing. And it was Christmas time as well. And I remember I was so ill. You know, when you're so busy that you are full of adrenaline and then all of a sudden you come off on holiday and you get ill. Has that ever happened to you?
I think I know what you mean. You put so much energy in the beginning and then you just kind of empty the tank.
Yeah, you just crash. You just crash. And I felt quite ill at the time. I was not very well. I'd worked really hard. And then I did all these sums, realized I felt like a failure, basically. So what I did was I discussed it with my husband and, you know, what should I do? Should I just throw in the towel and go back to teaching, or should I try and improve? You know, should I try and change my business? And we both decided that we would make a big effort to change the business and try to make more of it. But it meant taking a hit financially for a while. And I learned as much as I possibly could at that point onwards about business, marketing, admin, pricing correctly, all that stuff. And that's when I started to take my website more seriously, my branding. And it was a long game. I definitely played the long game. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect it to be fabulous right away. I didn't expect to, you know, start attracting these clients who were going to pay me lots more money. I knew it would be a long, slow burn. So definitely took a hit, and there were lots of dips. You know, it was a big roller coaster ride where one day things would be amazing and I'd feel great, and the next day I thought, what am I doing? I'm not making any money. So yeah, that was a long journey, but in the end, I felt like I was making progress, so I persevered.
Good for you.
Thank you.
That's really great. No, it's a classic case of marathon, not a sprint, isn't it, really? So, a lot of people are not aware of that. You think that once you start doing this, it's all, just all daisy and roses in the beginning, it's all a picnic, and then you'll be fine, but yeah. I think a lot of people can relate to what you've gone through as well in the beginning.
Yeah, I think you have to go through that in order to succeed, though, because I think the reason most people, most business owners, not just photography business owners, but most business owners do go out of business is because they expect things to happen too quickly. Mm-hmm. And it's the people who do play the long game and do endure the marathon, they're the ones that come out of the other side.
Yeah, that makes sense. So in terms of, you know, you started your own business and it kind of revolves around, you know, your family. And I can see, I know you have, you know, beautiful children in your family as well. And you want to focus on them and, of course, being your own boss. And, you know, that's kind of like a lot of people, they're thinking they want to be in that situation. So what advice would you say for those who want to be where you are right now, you know, have a business revolve around your family and being your own boss, what advice would you give to those who want to be in that situation?
Oh, wow. I don't know if I'm that well placed to give advice because I've got a long way to go until I feel like I'm good at all of this. But I suppose one of the things I've already kind of covered, which is you do need to play the long game. You know, you can't start a business and then 3 months down the line say, this isn't working, I'm giving up. You can say this isn't working and then improve. But don't give up after a few months. You know, so many people get in touch with me as photography business owners telling me, you know, I've been in business for a few months now and nothing's really happening. And I think, a few months? You know, come on. You need to give it at least a year before you can say it's not working.
Yeah.
But another part of that is you need to believe. You need to, I know you're going to have little moments where you feel down and those negative voices creep in a little bit, but you need to make sure they're short-lived. You need to believe in what you're doing and you need to have this end goal or a short-term goal, a vision that you think about and you visualize all the time in order to help you believe. And another big part of all of this, I think, is just learning all the time.
Yeah.
You know, building learning and education into your day-to-day life so that you're constantly improving and constantly working towards this goal of yours, because it's so hard. Mm-hmm. So hard.
I agree. Definitely a big advocate of always learn something every day. You can never stop learning. You can never think that you don't need to learn anymore. There's always something
yes.
new. So
definitely.
Definitely agree with that.
The most successful people I meet are those who do that, who believe in that, who mm-hmm. just are constantly learning and they don't ever think that there's nothing more to learn. They're just constantly looking for little nuggets everywhere.
Good. I like that a lot. And when you first started off your business, you know, as like a lot of people, you need to have a website, you need to be online and you need to have a presence online. And like a lot of people and yourself, you know, you got into WordPress and you built a WordPress website.
I did.
So how did you get into WordPress in the first place? And what was your first experience with it?
Okay, so I only got into WordPress after I met Chris, actually, who we just talked about. So I joined the Content Marketing Academy. I had this, you're going to be horrified. I had a Flash website before that.
Oh no.
I did. And I remember Chris saying to me, Julie, you know, you need to get rid of this website. And he very much told me, you know, you really need to get into WordPress. And when I did resist that for quite a long time because it just seemed like quite a lot of work and my website was working okay for me. So it's like one of these things. If it's not broke, you know, why fix it? But I did know down deep down inside that I needed to make the move. Also, at that point, that's when if your website was not completely mobile friendly or, you know, what's the word I'm looking for?
Responsive website.
If your website was not responsive, you were going to start getting penalized. So I made that move to WordPress. Wanted to basically make sure I owned the platform, owned all my content. It was all under my roof, if you like. Mm-hmm. And that was one way to do that. So, and I just loved all the themes. I loved that when I started looking into it, I loved how much flexibility I would be able to have with design and all the themes that seemed pretty straightforward to get around. But also being able to be found really easily with Google, with search engines. So that's how I made that decision to move into WordPress. You know, after moving into WordPress, that's a different story. That was a learning curve. Major.
And you're happy with that. I mean, let me just clarify. So you're not going to go back to Flash anytime soon at all.
Ahmed, I promise I will never, ever, ever do that.
I'm going to hold on to you for that. That's fine. That's fine. I just want to get it on tape right here. So that's okay. So obviously, a lot of people will have like a bit of nervous experience about using WordPress, they hear things about security, or they think that maybe it's too difficult to use, you know, even though it's a very, very popular platform. So, you know, you've done it, you started your own WordPress site. You know, what would you say to those who have doubts about using WordPress and running it?
I would say that I totally understand, because I felt the same way, maybe not the same way that very technophobic people would feel, because I've never been totally technophobic, but I felt very overwhelmed and there was a lot of resistance because of I wasn't used to this dashboard. I wasn't used to this back end. I didn't know that if there would be a problem, I thought, will I be able to sort it? Will I have to pay lots of money to get it sorted? So I totally understand the barriers that people feel are there. But actually, it's super, super simple once you get over that initial barrier. I think so many people, my husband is like this, so many people go into something new in terms of technology, and they come across maybe a couple of barriers and they just switch off and they want to say goodbye to it. But there is so much education online now, so many tutorials, so many really good tutorials. They've got reviews so you can check whether they're good or not. And you can learn everything step by step from beginners upwards. So I would say go for WordPress. Don't try and, you know, nail it right away. Just start at the very beginning, do the very beginner's tutorials and work your way up. And within a very short space of time, you will not believe you ever resisted it, because it's so, so simple.
And there we have it. You know, this is a case study we have that, you know, you can do something amazing with WordPress. And I have to say, you know, your website looks fantastic, you know, in the front cover.
Thank
when you,
you
land on it. You know, if you know exactly where you are, and it's very descriptive, and it's very, it just has a very nice feel to it. People will not realize that you can do that with WordPress, and you really can. Definitely, it's definitely recommended. I mean, I would say that, but it's definitely recommended in terms of your choice of platform.
Definitely. And I think if you're completely technophobic, there are so many people who can help you with it. That's the thing. If you choose WordPress, then you're spoilt for choice for developers and people who can help you. Whereas if you choose a different platform, you might have quite a limited options when it comes to trying to hire someone to help you, I think.
Yeah. And which brings me to my next point in terms of, like, you know, when you need help and support, or if you have any problems, what do you do in terms of, like, your maintenance, your general running of it, and, you know, how do you look after it? Do you tend to use, do you do it all by yourself? Do you hire someone? Do you, you know, pay for the service?
I used to do it all myself until my friend Caroline recommended WP Curve to me. So I think maybe about 3 months ago I joined WP Curve, and oh my goodness, that's been amazing. So that's a service that I pay just the basic package. I can't even remember. I think it's maybe $70 a month, something like that. But for that, you get unlimited. No, that's not true. You get one small task done each day. So if you wanted to, you could give them 30 tasks in a month, one each day, and they would do them for you. So that's just small tasks. But that has really been amazing for me, because something that I used to tinker away with for maybe an hour will take them 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So that kind of time that I have saved on messing about in WordPress, doing very kind of fiddly little things, that's been taken away from me. And actually, really, even if they only do two jobs a month for me, that is worth it in terms of time and headaches.
And it makes sense. If you spend an hour or 2 hours, you know, you could have been using that money to generate other sources of income, helping customers and clients.
Absolutely.
To spend someone money to take 2 minutes, and you kind of make money out of that, really.
Exactly. You can either use that time to make money, like you say, or you can use it to spend time with your family or do something fun. It's so worth the money.
WP Curve, I'll mention it in the show note, a link to it. I'm very familiar with it. It's started by Dan Norris, who's a bit of a content marketing machine, as I'd like to call
him. He is, yeah.
And he's very good at what he does. But I'll link to it in the show note for anybody else who wants to find out more information about it. So this is where I get all, you know, acting like in an interview. I'm going to ask you, what's your biggest strength?
Oh, God. Yeah, as Brits, again, we're not very good at talking about strengths, are we? I would say my biggest strength is I am definitely persistent. So, you know, I think I've already kind of talked about this, but I just don't give up easily at all. So I will have my down days, but I always know that I'll wake up the next day ready to fight. That is my, without a doubt, my biggest strength, just sheer stubborn persistence.
Wow. That's a powerful one there. And you have mentioned it, but why not bring up again? You know, you don't just hang around for a few months and give up. No, you keep on going for years and years to come, hopefully.
Yeah.
And you keep
absolutely.
Going.
Absolutely.
And so then, on the other hand, what's your biggest weakness and how do you go around it?
Oh, this is easy. My biggest weakness is I procrastinate. So as much as I'm persistent, that doesn't mean I don't procrastinate. I am like the queen of procrastination and it kills me. I've tried reading so many books and watching so many inspirational, you know, tutorials on how to be less of a procrastinator, but it's still a big weakness. I'm better than I was a few years ago, but if I can find something else to do rather than the thing I really need to do, I will. And it tends to be that I will wait until I have no option but to do this thing. And then it's a last minute big panic to get it done. So I very much look for the things I want to do, and then the things that I don't so much want to do, I'll leave them. Oh, it just drives me mad.
I mean, I've read it, and I'm going to quote it. You've mentioned it on your site, front and center, on your homepage, and I quote, "I am a renowned scatterbrain and procrastinator." So you're not holding back.
No, I have to just own it, don't I?
I think so. But you're working on it, you know, you realise it, you know about that, so you're better than before, so...
Yeah.
You keep going.
I think I watched this TED Talk on procrastination, which was amazing. I can't remember who it was, but he was phenomenal. And he talks about, you know, the dangers of procrastination. So he talks about short-term procrastination, like I have, when you delay doing a task until the last minute. Mm-hmm. But then he says... Then there's this really dangerous procrastination, which is people who delay doing something for their whole life. So I just count myself lucky that I don't have that one. You know, I'm not going to get to the end of my life and think I didn't do this thing I wanted to do. It's just I leave it till the last minute. That's all. Every time.
I mean, it reminds me of in university, you know, people have assignments or essays. It's like, I'll be fine. I'll leave it till the night before, overnight. In the library to finish it off.
Caffeine after caffeine. Yeah.
Mixed with Red Bull and so on and so forth. So, yeah. But, you know, it's really interesting about that TED Talk. I'm going to look for it. I'm going to find it and see if I can put it in the show note about that. But
it's really good. Yeah, I would really recommend it.
I'll definitely try to find that as well. And if you had to start again... what would you do differently? I think I've got an idea what would you do differently. You mentioned about that struggle in the beginning about earning less than minimum wage, but from your point of view, what would you do differently?
Do you know, I don't know if I would even do that differently because going through that was really important. Mm-hmm. I think if you'd asked me this question even a year ago, I would have had lots of things I would have done differently. But now I wouldn't do anything differently because all the really crappy times have led to the good times every single time. So I always know that when there's something not going well in my business, that round the corner is a success because I'm learning all the time. So I'm going to say that I would not change a thing.
Wow. I like that a lot, because basically what you're saying is all that crap time makes you who you are today.
Yeah.
And you built up a strength to create what you have today.
Absolutely.
And it's such a good point. It is a really good point as well. And I, now that you mention it, it does make sense to me. So I like that a lot.
I think, I think maybe one thing I would have done earlier is I would have put myself around like-minded people earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I did that, when I found people who were also pursuing their dreams, you know, my kind of community is the CMA, the Content Marketing Academy with Chris, but there's all these communities all over the world. And if you join them and if you find the right one, you will skyrocket with the right people around you. So I think I would have done that earlier. That's the one thing.
It's such a good point, though, because sometimes, you know, it's all well and good to have the support of your family and friends, but they're not from the same kind of background or same kind of mentality, or they're not in the same situation as you.
Yeah.
So it's very hard for them to relate. But, you know, with good intention, they try to support you.
Yes.
But, on the other hand, yeah, you're right. The right community
can be
different.
So supportive, but they can also sometimes be a little bit too realistic for you. You know, they maybe just try and they don't mean to, but they can be a little bit naysayer. Oh, you know, maybe you should try and find a job, you know, that kind of thing. And they do mean well, but they're just not on your wavelength. It's really important that you have to find people on your wavelength.
Very true. Very, very true. So then if we get all sentimental, what are you most proud about with your business?
Oh, what am I most proud of? Okay. I would say I'm proud that I have kept moving forward. You know, I've stayed the course and I've allowed my business to evolve. And that I just, that's what I just always want to be doing. I always want to move forward. I never want to get stuck. So I think that's the thing I'm most proud of, is that moving forward all the time, but also the community that I've built up. I've got this community of photographers who are just awesome and really support each other and help each other. So that's something to be proud of as well.
Definitely. It must be so amazing to have that support of a community. They help each other, you help them, and they help you as well, of course. And yeah,
They do. They're great. Great people.
I like that. So, it's really, really interesting. I mean, this is the whole point why I wanted to talk to you, interview you. You know, from my perspective, you have got a lot of insight. You may say earlier that, oh, I don't know if I'm in a right position to offer a certain advice, but, but you'd be surprised, because there's a lot of things that you have shared is so useful, so informative and really inspiring as well. So I definitely want to thank you for sharing that with
us. Oh, thank you. No, It's been a great chat.
I really enjoyed it. I'm sure the listener have enjoyed it. If they want to connect with you or get in touch with you, where can they find you?
They can find me at Tea Break Talk. So Tea Break Talk, all one word, that's on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, and teabreaktalk.com is my website.
And I will link to all of those in the show notes. So, Julie, I can't thank you enough. It's been really, really good chat with you. Very, very interesting to talk to you about everything that you do. And I'm definitely keen to see what you're doing, what you're going to move on to the next step in terms of talks and business and so on. And definitely hope to talk to you again about that in the future. You never know.
Yeah, well, I'd be delighted to. Thanks so much for having me on. I've really enjoyed it.
No problem at all. Thank you very much. And that is it. Thank you, Julie, for coming on to the show. I really enjoyed it. Really good chat with you. Really enjoyed the interview. So many good points coming out of that. And even I'm seeing myself, yeah, I agree with you. And it's really, really enjoyable. So many things to take from that interview. But one of the big things I've learned from Julie is that persistence and determination is so important when it comes to running your own business. And it's a classic case of marathon, not sprint, what we mentioned. And you just have to stick at it. A few months as Julie mentioned earlier, is definitely not enough. So keep at it. So the show notes are available on igniterock.com/episode 8. I really hope you enjoyed the show. If you have, I would massively appreciate it if you could leave a review on iTunes. In the meantime, let's rock with WordPress.